Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour, Grant and Danny on the Fan. 118 coming up in about 15 minutes. Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. We've talked about the fight. Now we know it's going to be available in movie theaters on big screen all around the country. I'm going to give you the details on how many theaters are going to be showing this, many of them in this area. Would you go watch this fight in a movie theater? Eat your popcorn, drink your soda, hang out with a bunch of your friends and some strangers and watch the fight, or would you rather be at your house? We'll get into that coming up in the 115 segment. But right now, our buddy Craig Hoffman is going down to training camp in Richmond with Chris Russell to help us cover the Skins throughout camp here on 106.7 The Fan. Well, we'll get you closer to the team than anybody that joins us on Grant and Danny. Craig, I want to start, when you get down to Richmond, sans Kirk Cousins, because that's all everyone seems to be talking about, is there anything specific that you're particularly interested in that the first couple days you're going to pay a lot of attention to?
Yeah, Grant, the first thing I'm going to do is find the parking lot because I've never been there before. But assuming I can get that all straightened out, I think the safety position is probably the most interesting thing to me. Obviously, there's so much upside there potentially with Sua Cravens and Swearinger. But they're both kind of in roles they've never been in before. You know, Cravens played safety in college. He's never done it in the NFL. Swearinger, you think of as a box guy, a strong safety. He's going to come down and hit people. They're going to need him to be more of a free safety type of role where he's going to be playing a lot more deep center field in the middle, whether it's a deep half and a cover two look or a deep third, if they're or a center fielder in a cover one or a cover three look. Which is basically the how they've utilized their safeties the past couple of years. So unless they're going to do some kind of massive scheme change and have, you know, their safeties playing man coverage on tight ends and running backs and stuff like that, those roles is specifically in pass coverage for the safeties, I think, is one of the most intriguing things because the gap of what it could be on the positive and the negative side, the floor and the ceiling, is so, so vast.
Craig, you mentioned running back in there, and that's a position battle a lot of people are intrigued by because, you know, Jay Gruden loves Rob Kelly, and, you know, they drafted Samaje Perine, kind of a Maurice Jones-Drew type, a bowling ball, wrecking ball kind of guy. I'm actually of the – maybe I'm a hipster, but tell me what you think of this. I sort of don't care who wins the running back job. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. Jay Gruden's offense has never run the ball effectively. This is his entire career as a play caller, both in Cincinnati and here in Washington. It's not always about attempts. It's about effectiveness. I sort of think – you don't have a stud there if you're talking about a battle. I almost don't care who wins.
Well, and here's the thing. Without Deshaun, and look, Terrell Pryor's fast. Josh Doctson is a guy who had some deep threat ability in college, but neither of them quite obviously is Deshaun, meaning the ability to take a top off a defense is going to have to come through manufactured play action stuff. And while I don't think the deep game is going to be as big of a part of their offense this year in terms of design, you still need to have that threat. And if you're going to have that threat and it's going to have to come for play action, you have to have some sort of a running game. So it's got to be effective enough. And while I agree with you, Danny, I don't think Rob Kelly's some gem that they just, you know, for some reason last year started hot and then they often, you know, just didn't pan out. But this year he's going to average 5 yards a carry. Like that's not who Rob Kelly is. But if he can push four, like, that's a big deal. If Samaje Perine can come in and push four, that's a big deal to keep the offense on schedule and to open up the play action game. The other interesting thing I'm really interested in the running back position is with Chris Thompson finally going into a true free agency year, essentially, do they care if he gets hurt? And what I mean by that was, will they give him more first and second down looks, give him more in-between tackle stuff, where he's been effective at times, but they've never really cut him loose there because they're always afraid of him getting hurt. Now that they can really cut him free after the season and there's no more restricted free agency, exclusive rights free agency, all these crazy things he's been after the past couple of seasons where he's been under team control, I wonder if he's the most effective guy, if they utilize him more in a traditional starting role and then use him on third down, and maybe we see less of Perine slash Kelly than we think we will as of now.
Yeah, he's gotten so valuable on third down. I mean, Cousins legitimately thinks he's the best third down back in the league, and while I think that's hyperbole, that's an important down and distance for them to have him on the field in those two-minute drills. So I think they almost want to prevail him just for those situations. But it's an interesting thought. Craig Hoffman's going down to Richmond. Chris Russell will be there with us as well. You've heard Chris on the show with us breaking down the team, and we're getting some of Craig's thoughts as he gets ready to head down to training camp. Let's talk receivers for a second. You mentioned Pryor and Doctson. I mean, both of those guys are laced with upside, and both for their own reasons are major question marks in this offense. Jamison Crowder, I think, is a star, and I think he's going to catch 85 balls this year. But how about the receiver position? A guy like Ryan Grant's getting a lot of run this offseason again. Maurice Harris showed nicely last year. And then the starters on the outside, as projected, the big fellas, one who was signed this offseason, the other was a top 25 pick a year ago. How do you see it all shaking out without the two 1,000-yard guys of a year ago?
Yeah, I kind of think they're going to be fine. I like the idea that they're going bigger and giving Kirk bigger targets to go to. Not that, Pierre Garçon wasn't a fantastic target to throw to, and not that DeSean Jackson, even despite his size, wasn't a great target to throw to. His ability to track the ball made his catch radius a lot bigger than a lot of people his size, and obviously his speed and separation ability is hyper elite and special. So any other gripes you may have about DeSean, he's worth it. Just he is expensive, and they decided to go in a different direction. But getting these 6'5", 6'4", 6'3", kind of guys in an offense where it's a lot of stuff in tight spaces, where a guy like Terrell Pryor or Josh Doctson can use their bodies to box guys out, like that's a super valuable skill. And Jamison Crowder's figured out how to do that at his size as well, make himself a viable target who's really, really good at finding space and windows. As for the other guys, I think you're right. Like, we're on this Ryan Grant train again, and I can't for the life of me ever figure it out. I know I don't need to preach this to you guys because we're all on the same boat. We're running the same relay, passing the baton of who, hey, all right, your turn to hate Ryan Grant. And for some reason, we can never pass that baton to the coaches. I don't even understand the route running thing. Like, he doesn't run routes well in games. I don't care what he does in practice, and we're going on year four of this. So, like, if all of a sudden they're saying the right things and he doesn't make the roster because, again, he's just not that good, it wouldn't surprise me. If he makes the roster, that wouldn't surprise me either, because their love for him seems to know no bounds. And then you've got all of these other guys in terms of the guys they drafted and brought in the past 2 years, whether it be a Kendall Thompson, the kid they brought in this year, I think it was in the fifth round, or Brian Quick, who they brought in, who's a veteran and has had really effective seasons before in St. Louis, and then was somewhat effective, I guess, a little bit last year in L.A. For the Rams' first season out there. He's a proven guy, but how much cross-pollination do you need of, okay, do we really need 4-6-4 guys? Do we need a little bit more insurance for Crowder in the slot? Not necessarily because you're concerned about him getting hurt. I mean, you're always to a point concerned about that. It's football. But, how much can you ask a guy to play? Do you want to be able to give him some snaps off? Who can fill that role? So I think it's going to come down to a couple of things. One, how many different types of receivers do you want? How many different skill sets do you want? How much depth do you want at specific skill sets? And I guess the positive for Ryan Grant there, and part of why the coaches like him, is for all of the things that drive us nuts, he at least knows every position. He's not going to go out there and run the wrong way and screw up a play in that way. And so he provides a little bit of positional depth there. And then the other thing that he also provides that the other guys at the back end of the roster are going to have to prove themselves is special teams. When you're the fourth, fifth, sixth receiver, you've got to make an impact on special teams. And in many ways, it's going to be the special teams coaches who decide to make the roster at that position over, say, the wide receiver coach and Jay Gruden as an offensive coordinator, because on offense, they're going to get so few snaps a game, it's not going to be nearly as impactful as they can have on the special team side.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter. And if you go to his profile, Grant, I'll spin this around and show it to you. There's a picture of the four of us at FanFest. It's me, then Hoff, then Nick Ashew, and you. And I think it looks like, what if Nick Ashew ate Craig Hoffman, and then there's me on the left-hand side?
A little bit like that.
Because
yes.
Craig Hoffman's in great shape. He will be covering the Redskins for us now in Richmond.
He loves exercising so much.
He's so good at it, too.
He likes monitoring his heart.
Just not eating bad foods. It's a fascinating development. Hoff, I want to ask
you. What did I call you guys when I walked in the studio yesterday?
I think we were the skinny show.
Yeah, which is funny coming from the skinniest guy in the world.
But we do. I got to be honest. I liked that a lot when he said that.
It's
I was very
nice.
Happy about
it's like nice of you to notice, but you're still way skinnier.
We've
than
never
us.
Been referred to as
skinny
show.
Yeah, you guys look great.
Before.
You guys Thank look you, great. Your endorsement has paid off in so many ways.
You are a sweetheart and a doll. Here's what I know. 91, we got it. I'm figured out about Ryan Kerrigan. That's the linebacker I know will be there in some capacity. The rest of the guys are kind of in flux, and it's a good problem to have. I think you got a lot of playmakers there. How do the rest of the two inside linebacker spots and the guy opposite Kerrigan shake out?
Well, that's the fun thing, right? Like, the Redskins have a ton of options, which is an upgrade after over years past. You're like, what are they going to do there? The problem is we don't know if any of them are any good. Trent Murphy was obviously terrific last year. He would be in my mind, the safest bet, except for the part where he's going to miss the first four games of the season because he's suspended. So that kind of stinks. Junior Gallet, hey, let's make it through camp, and then we'll talk about you. He says he's the most explosive he's ever been. I can't wait to get down there and ask him how in the world he's measuring that. Like, is it a feel thing, or are you going and running 40s and you're actually faster? Because there's no way coming off of two Achilles you're as explosive as you were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when you're maybe the most explosive end in the league. And so the good news, I guess, there is even if he's almost as explosive, he's still really quick. The other thing, too, though, with him is the weight. He's down to, like, 240, I believe I read. And so how many downs can he really play? Is he truly going to be a pass rush specialist? So that limits his, you know, usage on the field in a roster spot and trying to decide whether or not he stays. But I think he probably winds up doing so in the end. Ryan Anderson, rookie, no idea. Nobody does. But the scouting report out of him on Alabama in terms of how he competes, the fact that he can play run and pass, like, he sounds extremely promising, but there's going to be a learning curve even for a kid coming out of Bama. And then the greatest of the unknowns, it's kind of like where we started with the safeties, the lowest floor and the highest ceiling, is, of course, Preston Smith, because he's shown, like in the Minnesota game last year, he can almost single-handedly win you a football game. He is a dominant force, except for when he gets lost and is running the wrong way and doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And then he is a disruptive force for your own squad because he's costing you chunk yards because he's not in the right spot. The inside linebacker position is interesting because for as great as Zach Brown was last year in Buffalo, Pro Bowl player, like, he's very athlete, not brain, from what I've heard about him. And if this is going to be at all a thinking man's defense, the massive advantage is to Will Compton and Mason Foster. And the way that I've heard Jim Tomsula has had a major impact on this defense is there is a far, far, far greater understanding in the front seven of, hey, my defensive linemen are doing this so that you linebackers can do this. It is much less of what Joe Barry had of, like, here is your job, run in straight line, go do this, don't care about anything else. Now these guys are going to be playing off of each other. There's going to be more reaction. And for Foster and Compton, two guys that understand the game at that level, they understand the 11-man chess game, the 22-man chess game, they would seem to have an advantage in that kind of scheme over Zach Brown based off of what the things that I have heard. Maybe I get down there and see these guys on the field and my opinion changes just like that. But that is kind of my impression of things going into camp, that if I had to make a guess right now, it would be Compton and Foster, and Zach Brown will certainly have his ability to go show off what he can do as well. And I think all three will play. But if I had to guess right now, majority, especially of first and second down snaps, where you have the most variety in play calling, I think that Compton and Foster are going to be your guys to start at the season in the middle again.
Craig, thanks so much, buddy. Good catching up with you. He will be in Richmond for us on 106.7. The Fan will have you covered better than anybody. Camp gets started tomorrow. McGregor Mayweather in movie theaters on big screen. Would you go to the theater to watch?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.